Live. It's your show. You bring up what you want via the toll-free number at 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line for you, 1-800-259-9231. It's Ian here with you.
And Julia.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features there completely free, so enjoy those on us. That again, freetalklive.com. Let's go right into the phone calls and start things out with Brian in Colorado on the amplifier line. Hello, Brian.
Hello, everybody. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
How are you?
What's up?
I just had a little minor act of civil disobedience today.
Do tell.
Yeah, I was. There's this road that comes down. It's a pretty steep hill, and it's a 45-mile-an-hour hill.
Okay.
Now, you could go down there 65 miles an hour. It's four lanes wide. But the speed limit is 45 or 50. It depends on how you read the signs.
Gotcha.
Well, of course, everybody goes 60 or 65. So I get down to the bottom of the hill, and, of course, there's a cop at the bottom with a radar gun going up. Now, it seems to me that radar guns at the bottom of a hill are just foul play.
I would agree. You know, I mean, really, what's the purpose of a speed limit? You know, radar guns are to enforce a speed limit. A speed limit is to keep everybody safe. But, you know, at the bottom of a hill when you've got momentum going with you and that whole thing, it seems like a dirty trick. Like they're just out to give somebody a ticket rather than trying to keep everybody safe.
It's a revenue generator, right.
Right.
Well, they would argue that they're trying to keep you safe by keeping you going 45 on this hill where it's dangerous to go 60.
I'm sure they would.
But it's not dangerous to go 60. I mean, they go all the time at 60. Luckily, they didn't go today. But, yeah, I mean, who knows? They're going to say it's safety. But, anyway, I didn't think it was right. So I made a U as soon as I could, went right past the cop, went up the hill, flashing my lights the whole way.
Wait a minute. Wait. He didn't come after you. You came down the hill and then. Oh, I see. Okay. So
I came down the hill going the right speed.
Yeah, flashing your lights at a driver who's coming towards you is a signal to the other driver that there's cops ahead.
It's a signal to the driver of a bunch of things.
Yeah,
that it usually...
it's very confusing. But when I see it, I slow down, and sometimes there really are cops up there.
Right.
Well, sometimes around here it's because there's a deer in the road. There's something you should be aware of that's not normal coming up ahead. But in Colorado, there's a law that says, that I haven't looked at the law, I've just been told this, so who knows if it's actually a law, that you can't do that. You can't flash your lights to warn someone that there's a cop ahead. You can only flash your lights to warn someone that there's some danger.
Right.
Ahead,
it makes them very angry. They don't like that.
Yeah, right. And so I did that. I went up the hill, and I came back down, and then I went up the hill again, I came back down. So I flashed as many people as I could. But it was very heartening to me that when I came back down, there were lots of people who flashed their lights at me, too.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Excellent. So what else, Brian?
I have a little issue about a little clarification, a different way that I saw something. A guy called in, I think, whatever Gardner was on. Is that Monday?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he was talking about how he had a product, some kind of something for his car, and he had the patent on it, and as soon as the patent ran out, some guy in China made this thing that was, you know, inferior but a lot cheaper to his product.
Right.
And he got wind of that and immediately lowered his price, made his product better, and was able to force this other guy out of business.
Well, I don't think he said he forced him out of business, but he did manage to successfully compete with him to where he didn't lose a lot of his business, I guess.
Exactly. And that's great. And you guys said it was great, that's correct. However, and he said it himself, he said he'd already been selling this thing for 8 years and been able to recoup his money. So the only way that he was able to do this is with the patent protection.
He was able to recoup his money with the patent protection.
Right, because, you know, he built something, and I've done this, I've invented things, you know. You have to spend a lot of money on these dyes, especially if you're making something out of plastic. It's like $50,000 sometimes for this dye to stamp something out of plastic. So you make it, you stamp it, and it doesn't quite work. So you got to spend another $50,000 to make the next one, and then there's a lot of experimentation that goes in to getting your product, you know, to refine your product to a point where you can sell it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got, well, in our current system, now I'm not saying that this is the way it should be, but in our current system, you've got 7 or 8 or 17 or 27 years, depending on
depending on how much your lobbyists have managed to secure for you.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, of course, that's, I guess you call it mercantilism, but whatever, that's the way it is. And when you start out, you understand that, and so you price your product at a premium because you have the monopoly on that thing for 7 years or whatever.
Right.
And you're able to recoup your profits, knowing full well that when that patent runs out, someone else doesn't have to make 10 mistake dies before he gets to the final one. They can just take your product, you know, reverse engineer it, make their one die, and they can sell the thing a lot cheaper because they didn't have to go through the research and development that you did.
That's
but you
true.
Did that knowing that you would be able to have a monopoly on this thing.
That's right.
So, you know, a guard says, you know, you ought to write this up in Mises. Well, as an example of how you can compete, you know, with someone else who copies your stuff without the government, that's not quite true because he did have government protection in the time that he was recouping his initial investment. It was only after that, and everybody does that, they all lower their price when the patent goes out or, you know, they try to get it extended or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a situation where the government was used, but he was able to leverage the government along with the after government protection to make a lot more money.
That's right.
So I just want to point that out to you and then also say that, Ian, I really like your idea, and I'm thinking about this, about how maybe the university should be in the idea business and the manufacturer should be in the manufacturing business. That way we wouldn't need patents. I got to, you know, work that out in my noggin a little bit to see how that might work.
I don't know about what I think about that. I mean, you know, Ian has floated that idea quite a few times, but it seems like the people that stand to profit from a new idea will probably be the ones naturally to come up with new ideas.
The inventors would be getting paid working at the university.
Okay.
I'm not a university kind of guy, but I'm a tinkerer. And so I would never be in the university, so I don't really know how it would work. Maybe there will be tinkerer universities or something. I don't know.
Who knows? It's just one idea. And the name of the guy that I got that from was Stephen Kinsella. He's kind of like the go-to guy in the libertarian movement about intellectual property and how to get rid of it and possible brainstorms as to, you know, what the marketplace would do without government patent protection and that sort of thing around. And that was just one of the ideas that he floated. And honestly, it was in a 50-page paper that I just didn't, you know, I didn't read the entire thing. I just sort of skimmed over it. And so who knows? There might be other ideas in there that I didn't actually get to. So
was his paper copyrighted?
I don't think so. That would be ironic, wouldn't it?
Kinsella, you say?
Yeah, Stephen Kinsella. So go punch him up and see what you can find. And thanks for the call, Brian. We appreciate it. 800-259-9231. I don't know if that's the best way that things would work. I don't know if that's how it would the market would organize itself. But presuming that people still value ideas, certainly there would be some sort of structure that would spring up that would allow those to create the ideas to be rewarded for them.
Well, I think that probably the best argument from the side of, you know, no government, you know, no patent law, no copyright law, you know, coming from that side of the argument is mm-hmm. the market, the people demand copyright and patent protection of some sort, some kind of intellectual property protection. They demand that. The public understands it, and inventors want it. There would be something. I don't know how it would work. I don't know if it would be better than the current system we have or worse than the current system we have. I don't know if people would slip through, but I do know that currently and the way things are going right now, people are violating intellectual property laws all the time. You know, college kids are being brought up on charges for downloading music, which seems ludicrous to me.
Yeah.
You know, the music industry is getting $3,000 a pop for everyone they can catch when they didn't download $3,000 worth of music. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the laws...
They're trying to set an example.
I know the laws are being abused. I know that there's problems with the laws. I don't know. Intellectual property seems like one of a very legitimate role of government to me.
Well, that's just it. Government is not legitimate in the first place because
I understand
it's
you believe
coercion
that.
And it's forcing people to do things. And so if you agree that coercion is a nasty thing that we should get rid of from our human interactions, then you need to start thinking up some alternative options, you know, for people to protect their ideas, if indeed that's something that they're looking for. And I think that the marketplace, if the marketplace were handling it, then intellectual property protection, should the marketplace want those sorts of things, would be in the hands of everyone, would be in the hands of those who are seeking profits instead of in the hands of lawyers, which is whose hands they're in today. And as a result of intellectual property being in the hands of lawyers via the patent system and copyright law and all those other laws that surround intellectual property, then of course it's the lawyers that are the ones that are profiting from it the most. It's the lawyers that are making out like bandits.
You can make the same argument about personal injury. I don't think that we should not have a tort system for people to get injured by other people.
I'm not sure what that argument would be, but
I'm not sure what it would be either.
In that case, I think they're actually helping someone instead of stealing ideas from inventors and snagging them for themselves, which is what they're doing today. More on the way. It's Free Talk Live.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronic, photo, cell phone, office product, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supply, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, here for the 2007 Red Book. The commodity markets like gold, silver, copper, aluminum, and oil have exploded over the last year. This is a glaring testimonial of how quickly the U.S. dollar can be devalued. Many have turned to precious metals to provide a safe haven while increasing the potential profits. Though accumulating precious metals has been a proven method for the storage of wealth, it is important that you understand the market you are getting into. Midas Resources is offering the Red Book and Silver Dollar for only $27.95. The Red Book is the number one best-selling guide to gold and silver coins. Call for your copy today. It's 800-686-2237. If you've already accumulated or plan to get into the precious metals market, you simply must have the Red Book in your library. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Hello, friends. Alex Jones here. I want you to imagine waking up one morning to find out you've been burglarized. An intruder has taken your personal possessions, credit card numbers, social security cards, banking information, and more, all in the hands of a total stranger. What's worse is you realize he got it through your front door because you left it unlocked. Every time you walk away from your computer, leaving your internet connection on, you are virtually inviting hackers, criminals, and Big Brother to access your personal information. Put a stop to this right now with the Net7 Network Security Switch from Net7 Technologies. Turn your internet on and off with one simple switch. There's no software to load, and it's so easy to install. Right now, you can order your Net7 Security Switch from Net7 Technologies for only $39.95. For a limited time, receive free shipping with your order. Visit net7tech.com. That's net, the number 7, tech.com, and start protecting yourself today.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer, and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning, and the poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now, it's cancer's turn to die with LaceMed Inc.'s patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267 or visit www.lasemedinc.com. Call 702-953-0267.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show. You can bring up what you want toll-free. 800-259-9231. The SACL CAI toll-free line for you. It's Ian here with you.
And Julia.
And Mark.
You can join us on our website, freetalklive.com. All the features for free, including the updates. You just get signed up. We'll clue you in whenever there's something fresh to announce about the show. Get on the list by going to updates.freetalklive.com. That's updates.freetalklive.com. And Mother's Day is this Sunday. If you haven't gotten something for Mom, go to 1-800-Flowers.com and get her something nice. They've got flowers and gifts she'll love, and they'll deliver on Mother's Day. Use code FTL to save 10%. That's FTL to save 10% at 1-800-Flowers.com. As we go to the phones, to the fun, it's John in New Hampshire. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, John.
Hi, guys.
John in New Hampshire. Hey there.
Hey there. We've talked on the show recently about Ron Paul having a media problem that they don't want to pay attention to him.
Yeah, we were discussing that last night, in fact. Yes.
I heard something the other night. I work an odd shift, so I'm on the way home, and I don't have a lot of options on my radio, so I'm listening to whatever, you know, talk show I can get or switching from CD. We had John Stossel on a show called Laura Ingraham, fairly popular show.
Right.
John Stossel was doing a fairly good job of describing what it was like to be a libertarian and such.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually this woman who's interviewing him asked him, as a Republican, who he liked in the debates. He mentioned Romney, because Romney understands markets, and I'm not quoting, you know, John Stossel. I don't mean to be quoting him, but he basically said that he likes Romney because he understands markets, and I'm thinking, yeah, he understands mercantilism. And then when they discussed it a little further, he liked Giuliani because he seems competent. Yeah, fascist, I'm thinking. And then and Laura Ingraham eventually said to him, geez, I thought you'd maybe mention somebody like Huckabee. I don't know who the hell Huckabee is, but Stossel's answer was, geez, I thought you were asking about the major candidates. So I don't mean to, you know, step on somebody's toes. John Stossel's a friend of ours, so isn't Ron Paul. I don't mean to, you know, kick them or step on their toes, but I was so disappointed in that interview.
Yeah. You would think, I mean, how? I'm a little bit surprised.
Well, given the opportunity, when she ended up asking, I thought you'd mention somebody else. I can understand if he's talking, you know, do you like Romney, Giuliani, or McCain? Well, at least he left out McCain, who seems to me like he's really, really happy to bomb. However, he did that song recently. Not very good. So, Romney, Giuliani, at least he left out McCain. But given the second bite at the apple, when she said, I thought you would mention somebody else, he missed it. And
He didn't even take that opportunity. Wow.
Yeah. I was very surprised.
Somebody who self-describes as a libertarian, I mean, all you have to do is read his books to understand that.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's good.
That's a shocker.
The guy's good.
I don't understand why that would be.
And anybody could do it on any given day. I could, or you could, or anybody else could. You know, blow an opportunity to do the right thing.
Right.
The interview at that point, I didn't get to hear the whole thing. I'm just commuting to work. Terrible. It made me think, do these media people, is he looking at his job more than his principles?
I wonder about that. I don't know, man.
People sit and lump in, you know, I don't like to get into all big conspiracy stuff, but, you know, when you've got a manager that's breathing down your back a little bit and says either, you know, you should be talking about this or shouldn't be talking about that, you know, if it's your manager, you listen a little bit. And
right.
Without getting into big conspiracy, I think it does go up the line.
You think the heat's on, huh?
I don't know.
The heat's on John Stossel?
Say again?
I don't know, man. You think the heat's on John Stossel for management to not?
Well, he might
promote
just be,
Ron Paul.
He might just be, you know, position wise and say it's not good for my career, and he might be doing our cause very well. I don't know.
I don't know
he
how
might
that
be
does
a lot
our cause
smarter
well.
Than I am. He might be smart to not. Do that for now.
I don't know.
Because our
John,
message can be incremental. I don't
thank
know
Thank you
that.
For the update, man. We appreciate hearing from you, sir. 800-259-9231. You guys,
I would consider it very disappointing that, you know, John Stossel didn't take the opportunity to mention Ron Paul, the winner of the debate, on the online polls, all the online polls that are out there. Basically.
How could he not know, right? I mean, he presumably saw the debate. I mean,
he's certainly supposed to be informed.
I mean, I can understand not going online, and I mean, I know he's a busy guy, and I'm sure he doesn't do a lot of his own prep himself or whatever his job is. I'm sure he's got producers that do that sort of thing, but how could you not know that Ron Paul was far and away the most popular winner of that particular debate? And when asked a personal question about who you like the most, the question wasn't who won the debate, it was who do you like? And he didn't answer Ron Paul? That's a shocker.
Yeah, I would agree.
800-259-9231. Let's go to Chris in Indiana. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian, Julia, and Mark. Hello, Chris.
Hey, last caller, great call.
What's on your mind?
Julia, what do you think about intellectual property, because the other day when Ian and Mark were kind of getting heated at one another, that was great, by the way. Makes great radio. I love hearing that stuff. What do you think? Speak up.
Okay. Well, I have to say I take Ian's position on this, in that I think that if the marketplace, if there's a demand, like Mark says, if there's a demand for protection, that it will be provided. And with all the silly patents that are out there, I mean, you can see that there's obviously problems with the system that we have, like the crustless peanut butter and jelly sandwich or whatever. But I can understand people's fear in letting patents go and that sort of thing. So,
well, they think all productivity will grind to a halt if patents go away.
I understand people's fear.
Apparently no one ever invented anything before a patent.
But can it be any worse than what we have now? I mean, could the free market solutions be any worse than the system we have right now? I don't think so.
Well, yeah, they could. I mean, that's what I think it's possible. They certainly could be worse solutions.
That's right. It's an armed gang that holds all of society together. It's the armed government that makes it all happen, right?
Yeah,
Mark?
I like the idea of an armed gang protecting my property. Thanks very much.
Mm. Well, you know, it's fine if you want to hire the armed gang on a voluntary basis to protect your property. But
so, if you were sitting on the jury and I shot somebody who had stolen my intellectual property, how would you find?
I'd find that you're a murderer, and that's awful.
Yeah.
That's
you don't have any desire to protect people's property,
Well, that's
Ian.
Because murder is not an appropriate response to theft, Mark.
It absolutely is. Are you telling me if somebody's in your house stealing something, you don't think that shooting them is a
yeah, response? Yeah. That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Ian's all over the place on this
one. I didn't mean someone breaking into your house. I meant someone downloading a song.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
I
know right. There's a line.
I don't think murder is
a really tough issue.
It is.
Chris, any other thoughts?
I was being civilly disobedient today. On my way to work, I was driving my car, and my plates were out of date. And
there you go.
Yeah, and it's like, I think $250 later, I have my car back. And it was nice of the cop to give me a ride to work, I will say. But that's kind of ridiculous, you know. It's like you rob somebody and then you drive them to work. That's ridiculous. I mean, if he's going to have my car, he should have made me walk, you know.
Yeah, I guess so. Chris, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Guy wasn't saying that if someone was threatening your life that you shouldn't respond in kind. But if someone's just borrowing an idea, that does not deserve death.
I don't think being in your house stealing something unarmed is threatening one's life.
I don't think so either. 800-259-9231. I just don't know. I mean, I think you should be able to defend your property, but to kill someone over an idea,
it's
that's
you don't
crazy.
You don't think it'll look...
Did you know that the water you drink every day can be even more beneficial to your health? I'm not talking so-called enriched water, but I'm talking about electrolyzed water. RPA Biotech is an amazing American company, provides unique technology to transform water. Electrolyzed Plus Water will alkalinize your water more powerfully than any other single nutraceutical, because a body in an alkaline state can't grow pathogens, become allergic, or develop autoimmune disease or vascular degenerative illness. Electrolyzed water is non-toxic, non-corrosive, and environmentally safe for humans and animals. Alkaline water is available as a concentrate to be mixed with good, filtered, purified RO water, but not tap water, microstructured, alkaline, antioxidant water for consumption. Call for your Electrolyzed Plus Alkalinizing Miracle Rejuvenating Water Concentrate or other remarkable RPA Biotech products like Ultimate Fuel, Sport Performance Drink at 888-212-8871. That's 888-212-8871 or go to NutriMedical.com. That's NUTRI with an I, medical.com.
What if I told you that you could put up a brand new building and save up to half the cost and up to half the time as similar conventional construction? It probably sounds too good to be true. Well, just by picking up the phone, I can prove it to you. If you need retail, office, or warehouse space, or if your church or school wants to expand and save money, you need General Steel. Call today, and we'll prove to you that your new building can go up in about half the time, and you'll save up to half the cost. Dial 1-800-557-1363. We'll help you customize your building. You choose the size. You can even add the look of brick, stucco, or stone to achieve the look you want.
If you still think this sounds too good to be true, then pick up the phone and call. The information is free when you call 1-800-557-1363. Call General Steel. and find out how you can put up a brand new building in about half the time and save up to half the cost of similar conventional construction. Call now, 1-800-557-1363. 1-800-557-1363.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Do not pass go and do not collect $200. We joke about Monopoly's famous catchphrase, but there's a real-life version that'll cost you more than paper money when I come back.
I'm Bobby Likas, and I've discovered a fountain of youth for cars. One reason our cars get old before their time is the same thing that keeps them going, fuel. The carbon deposits left by fuel burned in your engine can choke off its air in fuel mixture, reducing efficiency. The BG Fuel Service removes harmful carbon buildup, dramatically improves power and mileage, and includes BG44K to treat the entire fuel system. To learn more, go to BGFindTheShop.com. BG.
It's no monopoly, but bet your piggy bank it's a dangerous and costly game. Played by 56% of Americans and costing billions, the losers in this deadly play suffered 89,000 injuries and over 1,000 deaths. Yes, the game of Red Light Run, a leading cause of urban crashes, monopolizes everyone's safety. Red light crashes are more likely than any other accident to result in injury, and traffic monitors in one city spotted a run every 5 minutes. Prevent this dangerous game of chance by digging into your community chest with other locals and following this simple rule. Do not run on red. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. We've all seen the tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your tornado unit today. Or visit tornadoair.com.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show. You bring up what you want via the toll-free number at 800-259-9231. The SACL CAI toll-free line, Ian here with you.
And Julia.
And Mark.
1-800-259-9231. Join us online, freetalklive.com. All the features for free, live streams included, broadband version of the show and a dial-up version. They're yours for free. Just go to freetalklive.com. And the Free State Project's Porcupine Freedom Festival, better known as Pork Fest, is June 18th through the 24th. At Pork Fest, you'll be able to tour New Hampshire on special Free State Project bus tours or on your own, as well as hear and discuss the progress and the future of the Free State Project. So register today at porkfest.com. That's P-O-R-C-F-E-S-T.com. As we go to the phones, the amplifier line to Puke in New Hampshire. You're on Free Talk Live. Hey, Puke.
Good evening.
Hey, good evening. What's up?
I want to make some comments on the intellectual property debate that's been going on, you know, all this week with you and Mark.
Yes, sir.
Well, before we went to the other commercial, you mentioned that, you know, somebody mentioned that shooting someone for downloading a song would be inappropriate.
Yeah.
And I think that's correct because I look at it this way, that a bunch of files on a computer is not a tangible, real object. Stealing a CD would be more of a theft in my mind than just downloading a song, because you can copy this bits of data, and you know it's going to happen, and it's not going to you can't really stop it without just becoming real draconian.
Right.
So that's just my idea, is that one way to get around it without using the government and patents and stuff, I was thinking, is something like Underwriters Laboratories. Why couldn't you have a private company that says, yes, this product was registered with us. We guarantee that it was the original. Something along those lines. I don't know.
Yeah, but you could. I mean, it's not hard to determine today which CDs are the originals. I mean, they're being sold in CD stores, and those CD stores have agreements with, you know, Capitol Records and Sony Music and all of the other CD distributors, Universal Music Group, all of the other distributors. So, I mean, it's not hard to determine today. So, obviously, the marketplace would easily be able to identify which is the real McCoy, the genuine article, that sort of thing.
Right. And I just, whenever it comes to digital things, such as, you know, if it's put online and it can be copied, well, I just don't see how you're really going to stop people from doing that. Because if they want to do it, they've found a way, thanks to the internet. And it's just, you know, without becoming just complete police state and having the government monitor your computers, I don't see how you could do away with it any other way.
Absolutely. It's impossible. I mean, think about the millions of people that have engaged in downloading. We certainly can't put them all in jail, and executing them would be genocide. I mean, that's nuts.
I would agree that there's a big problem with intellectual property and the way it's enforced in the United States right now, and that gives credence to ideas like Ian's, no doubt, but I don't think for a second that I just feel like it would be, you would see a slowdown in production. At the very least, I can show a real delineation between the increase of IP laws and the increase of production. Now, maybe they just happen to coexist at the same time. You know, our government has gotten bigger, and therefore the IP laws have gotten bigger and more intrusive. I'd give you that. And, of course, you know, as the future progresses, there will be more inventions.
Aren't people producing things in China?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know if they're inventing things in China. They may very well just be finding the things that we produced and invent here and then copying the crap out of them.
Oh, I can tell you they're inventing things in China.
Like what?
Well, there are knockoffs in China all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You can read about them online, like the, you know, fake iPods and MP3 players. But I don't see how, you know, companies in America are really losing money because a few knockoffs are being sold in China to people who couldn't afford a real iPod.
But we're talking about America, and what if America was like China? I mean, America is the biggest market for anybody who produces anything. The fact that a peripheral market like China, there exists no real IP protection out there. You know, we can look at it for examples, but, yeah, I would agree with you. You're right. It doesn't really have anything to do with what's going on here in America. But do we want their system?
I feel it. Go ahead.
Do we want their system? I mean, it could very well kill manufacturing here.
Right. Well, I feel like maybe if the laws weren't so crazy and made it difficult for people to, say, download digital music, which iTunes has helped that, but they make it so difficult that people just say, you know, to heck with it. I'm going to download it illegally because I can, and it's easier. And I can play it anywhere I want on anything.
Right. I've tried very hard to download songs, paid for songs on the internet, because I'm not very good with the whole, I don't want to learn how to do BitTorrent or anything like that. Sometimes, you know, I've had people show me, but I just never remember, and I don't really understand. Yeah. The programs change every couple of months because they're always shutting down those companies. I've tried to download songs legally, and I can't. I can't figure it out.
What, the legal ones?
The legal ones. I can't download songs.
I've never paid for one music song. It made me angry when they did that whole 99 cents a song crap.
I'd love to pay 99 cents a song. Man, I can't do it.
That's expensive.
I enjoy it because I don't like buying entire CDs because sometimes half the CD that you've never heard is junk.
Sometimes.
Oh, I agree with you for that on that one.
Thanks for the call, man.
So I'd like to buy one or two songs.
Right on. I'm sure the process will become easier over time. I mean, it just, more and more people are over time getting a handle on how to use computers, and the more you use them, the more capable you'll be at it. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. 800-259-9231. Let's go to Nico in Illinois. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian, Julia, and Mark. Hello, Nico.
I wanted to talk about patents. Since we're on this kind of subject of intellectual property.
Okay.
In this country, if we had no patents, I mean, it would be a better idea because we would have competition and things like that, and it would be less of a chance for a corporation just to take over one thing. But wouldn't there be a problem of companies saying, well, if we invent this, people are going to take it, and we won't make money, so then they just decide to invent it.
That's the crux of the argument, Nico. There you go. You've got it down. That's the argument. And my counter to that is that the market will come up with an alternative way of producing products that we might not necessarily be able to think of today, like the university solution.
Well, it's just like what you say with the market. The market is like a river that will find its way around impediments.
Yeah, it does its best job.
And I'd say what you're doing is you're putting an impediment in the market rather than streamlining it.
No, sorry. An armed gang of thugs forcefully taking money from people is an impediment to the marketplace.
You always how is an armed gang of thugs forcefully taking money from people when it comes to patent?
Let's see. There's taxes that support the bureaucracies that you are in favor of. So
look,
taxes support the bureaucracies, therefore they're taking my money at gunpoint.
Why do I support the IP laws as it stands currently?
Oh, you want to change them a little bit.
No, I want to make, common law copyrights where, you know, just like they used to, you can prove that you came up with the idea first and or that the person stole your idea rather than coming up with it uniquely on their own, and then you can sue them for damages. That sounds, it's a court system, a tort system sounds like it can handle all of this.
You want to get rid of the patent office?
I don't see any reason for the patent office to exist. I think that a person can, will need to prove, whether or not they came up, when they came up with something, that they came up with it uniquely, those kind of things, when they go to court. I don't see that we need a patent office for this. There would be all kinds of organizations. If a common law copyright where you sent a letter of the plans and schematics to yourself and left it dated, and you left it sealed and that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
If that didn't work, then there were companies would spring up that could help you to register your item. You don't need the government. I don't see any big need for a bureaucracy there, but I do see a need for enforcement of property rights.
Got it. Nico, any other thoughts?
Well, I think that if we were to get rid of the patent laws, I think if I were to make a choice on the argument I just brought up, and what Ian's saying with just get rid of them and let the marketplace decide, I would probably choose Ian's because, then maybe people would make a more quality product because they know that if they don't, then they'll lose out. I had one more thing really quick.
Hang on. 800-259-9231 is the toll-free number. You can take control of the airwaves and bring up whatever's on your mind. I guess more about intellectual property on the way and your calls about anything. This is Free Talk Live.
There are many paths you can take in the pursuit of liberty. The fastest avenue to real political change is being paved by the Republican Liberty Caucus. Join Representatives Ron Paul, Jeff Flake, and dozens of state legislators in advancing the ideals of individual rights, limited government, and private enterprise within the GOP. The Republican Liberty Caucus, online at rlc.org. That's rlc.org. Your path to liberty.
What's the worst thing about listening to the radio? The commercial breaks are too long. Now for just $3 a month, you can help Free Talk Live reduce the amount of time we spend playing commercials and get some really cool bonuses. Your contribution will help us get the show on more radio stations and MP3 players. For pennies a day, you'll help spread the message of liberty around the world. For more information, visit amp.freetalklive.com. Consider becoming a Free Talk Live amplifier today for just $3 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
I need to get my feet in shape for summer, but every time I get a pedicure, my feet look great. For a while, anyway. Then I have to go right back again because they get dry so quickly.
Listen, haven't you heard about Calex ointment? I use it regularly on my heels and they stay looking great. And my feet feel as good as they look.
What's the name again? Wait, I'm getting my pen out.
It's Calex. Callex.
What makes Calex ointment so different?
It's got these natural enzymes that quickly exfoliate dry, cracked feet and leave your feet feeling soft and smooth, just like a baby's bottom.
For soft, silky feet that look great in sandals, use enzyme-rich moisturizing Calex ointment. It's diabetic-friendly and found in the foot care section of Walgreens, Long's, Snyder's Drug, Bilo, Car Drug, HEB grocery stores, medicine shop pharmacies, and Rite Aid.
Hey, there's a drugstore. I'll be right back. I'm getting some Calex.
When my son started having behavior problems, the total transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual when he's disrespectful, defiant, or even abusive? Do you know how to fix it? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior right now with the Total Transformation. The program then helps you fix every behavior problem under the sun. Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. The Total Transformation is the program I've used for over 30 years to solve even the worst behavior problems. Your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back into your home. I guarantee it.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402. Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
Are you fed up with all the side effects of chemicals in your shampoos and detergents? Even fragrances can signal some 4,000 separate ingredients, most of which are synthetic. Hi folks, Alex Jones here. Why not go back to basics and be safe with Caliban Pure Soaps? They're all natural and you'll save some 85% the money you're spending for your cleaning products now. Marty Schachter founded Caliban Soap Company in 1947 and provided products for health institutions. Now, Caliban Soaps are available to you and me. Triple concentrated for all your cleaning needs, from bathing and laundry to dishes, hair, and more. No harsh chemicals, no animal testing. I use them and love them, knowing they're all natural and safe, and I save big time. Call Calvin Pure Soap at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Or log on to 5starsoap.com now for a free catalog. Again, that number, 1-800-340-7091 or 5starsoap.com for all your cleaning needs.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Your show, bring up what you want. Give us a toll-free number, 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line, 1-800-259-9231. Ian here with you.
And Julia.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features completely free. That again, freetalklive.com. But we do ask you voluntarily support the show by becoming a Free Talk Live amplifier at amp.freetalklive.com. As about 370 or so of our listeners have decided to do for as little as $3 a month. Again, it's up to you. You head over, you send in $3 a month, and it makes a big difference for us because, well, we take it all and we pool it together and we turn it around into purchasing advertising for the show, amongst other things, to help promote Free Talk Live, to get it on more radio stations, to spread the message of freedom and liberty as far and as wide as possible. So that's valuable to you. If you want to help support us, then head over to amp.freetalklive.com to get more information. That's amp.freetalklive.com. As we go back to Nico in Illinois, you're back on Free Talk Live. Nico, you had one more thing you wanted to cover, so go for it.
Yeah, basically about intellectual property. I pretty much think that the marketplace can handle it. However, let's say that somebody writes a book. Let's say I write a book on bees, and I do all the research. I go out and I interview people, I ask questions, I look online, and I just do all this research, and I write a whole big book about bees, and I want to make a little bit of money on it because I did a lot of work. I should make some money.
Sure.
And some other guy reads my book, and I'm not saying he copies my book. I'm saying he just basically rewords my book and writes it again. And he doesn't do any kind of research or anything. He just basically rewrites my book and sells it for a higher price. At that, or even a lower price. You know, it would be a little unfair because I did all that research. He did not. And, you know,
sure,
if he markets it better, he would get all the money.
Well, you know, that's why marketing is an important factor, and you should make sure that before you publish your book, your publisher has some sort of renown, and that they've got some sort of an exclusivity agreement with the different bookstores around the country to where you know that that future competitors or plagiarists or whatever wouldn't be able to get to elbow in on your territory.
And
so you'd have to work that out.
I would venture to say that currently, that under our current system, you would still have no recourse against a guy who read your book. Let's say he read 3 books on bees, took all the information that he learned in those 3 books, reworded it, and put it into his own book. That's what you call research now.
Yeah. He could even cite your book as a source if he wanted to and sell that. So, you know, it's a competition is a bitch, but it's worth having because it brings everybody, it raises the level of everything up. Thank you for the call, Nico. We appreciate it. And, you know, when you're in a business, whatever the business might be, whether you're dealing with a product that's, you know, one-time sale or consumable or whatever, you're selling a service, you've got to innovate constantly. You've got to have something new coming just around the corner because there's, you know, somebody out there that wants your profits, and they're going to be working hard to get at those. And so you've got to keep working hard, too. And that's what, you know, some of this monopoly privilege what it does is it takes away from that constant need to innovate. It removes from the need to compete because, well, you've got a 7-year guarantee where no one's going to be competing with you. So sit back, relax, enjoy your 7 years because there's no need to do any hard work at that time. Just market your product and feel confident that no one else is out there doing the same thing.
You know, I would concur with you in certain areas. And, for instance, there's no copyright or patent protection on things like fashions. When it comes to fashion, basically you cut and sew some material into a certain shape and bam, you've got some fashions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that doesn't take a great deal of marketing and research. Whereas in the case of some medications, let's talk about a medication that works, not one, that has all kinds of problems. It takes a great deal of research, lots of time, lots of scientists, all that kind of thing. And in order to see progress in that particular arena, I think it's likely, real progress, good progress in that particular area, rather than a bunch of people, mixing some stuff together and saying, hey, let's sell this. I think that you need certain protections when you put a great deal of R&D into something.
Well, of course, you are ignoring the fact that most of the money for R&D, or a good chunk of the money for R&D, is going to the FDA in the case of medicines. Also, I think Wayne would point out that a lot of medicines are just sort of pharmaceutical versions of natural things, natural plants that occur naturally here on the earth. And so that process allows those companies to glom on to what is essentially a natural product and hold it as their own with a patent
and once
the
again,
chemical version of it.
You're arguing against current patent law.
Grant,
I
want to explore your idea a little bit more here because it sounded kind of interesting to me. You are saying you don't want the patent office to be around. You don't want an office of copyright. You don't want any of that crap. But you
I don't even know that there is an office of copyright, but go ahead.
Let me see if I understand. Well, because there's somebody you register the copyright with.
There must be, right?
So let me see if I understand this. So you want to make it so that someone comes up with a back scratcher, okay? Let's say no one's invented that before.
Okay.
Someone invents the back scratcher.
Special new technology in the back scratching arena.
And they send a piece of snail mail to themselves to prove that they invented the back scratcher on this particular date.
Right. And some kind of pertinent information as to what kind of research they went through. Mm-hmm. I mean, they may very well have to protect that back scratcher against somebody else who came up with the same idea, the same technology in back scratching previously. They may have to protect that. So you should have notes and, information. And, the more complete it is, the better you look in front of a jury.
Okay. So he comes up with a back scratcher, sends himself that piece of mail,
mm-hmm.
and then begins to market the back scratcher.
Now, that would be what you call a common law copyright. Maybe that would work, maybe it wouldn't. If it didn't work, there would certainly be people out there that would register your quote-unquote private patent with them. They would have all the steps you'd need to take and that kind of a thing.
So he goes out and starts marketing his back scratcher. Let's say he gets a few distribution channels. Walmart picks it up, and they're still selling the back scratcher.
Mm-hmm.
Then he discovers that at the dollar store down the street, there's a rip-off version of the back scratcher that's been imported from China.
Okay.
And you're saying that what he would do is take the dollar store to arbitration.
Or the people that probably it'd be more effective to take the distributor of the back scratcher to arbitration.
Okay.
But when you file a lawsuit, you name everybody, and then it all comes out in the wash.
Okay, so he'd take the distributor of the the rip-off back scratcher to arbitration,
mm-hmm.
and theoretically he would come up with a number for damages that he wants out of them or something like that? Like, okay, well, by you selling this, you've done this amount of theoretical damage to me. I don't know how he'd figure that out.
Whatever, and
I don't know how he'd figure out what that number would be.
I prefer the idea of an arbitrator over a jury every day. I really do. I think the juries are usually comprised of people that want very much not to be there and are usually somewhere, lower than the mean as far as IQs go.
So you're saying that you would leave it up to the marketplace to decide whether or not intellectual property was valuable enough to even arbitrate, right? Because then you're relying on the idea that arbitrators and the marketplace in general would find it valuable to protect people's so-called intellectual property, which it might. Maybe it would. That's why I'm trying to understand this. So in the event that the marketplace does find intellectual property worthy of arbitration protection, mm-hmm. then the arbitrators would probably fine for the back scratcher inventor, and the company that ripped them off would get a damage to their reputation and that sort of thing. But in the event that the marketplace said screw you to intellectual property,
mm-hmm.
and you couldn't find an arbitrator who gave a flip about intellectual property, all the arbitrators are telling you, hey, sorry man, competition's tough,
you patented the crustless peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and I'm terribly sorry that other people are making, you know, something is illegitimate. Sorry.
So you'd be okay if the marketplace on its own decided that intellectual property wasn't valuable?
You know I'm not for bureaucracy, Ian.
Okay.
I'm just for laws and people being protected, their property being protected. Mm-hmm. And I do think that somebody's hard work in R&D is property. I do. Now, when you start talking about you know what Puke was bringing up as far as downloading music off the internet, it seems ludicrous to me for the RIAA to go seeking out college students who've downloaded you know one song or 10,000 songs. I don't know. I can't imagine they could download 10,000 songs, but you know 300 songs. I don't think they've been damaged.
What about cover bands? What about cover bands who, you know, they come into a bar and they're going to get paid $100 for that night to get up on stage and play other people's music?
An entire band is going to get paid $100?
I don't know. I'm just pulling out a number.
A lot of small bands will play somewhere for $100 gladly. They'd probably play for free.
It depends.
A bunch of cover songs.
Yeah, it depends on how, you know.
I would think
just a little local cover band.
At that point, what you're talking about is you'd have to see damages. I mean, you know, the people made $100 off of playing this gig,
mm-hmm.
and they increased their, you know, their saleability the next time they go up. They may be able to ask for $101.
Right.
That kind of thing. So in that particular case where they made money, the RIAA or whatever band they, you know, took their songs from would have to show damages. I don't feel like you can show a great deal of damages from a band that made $100 stinking, because they've got to stink. $100 stinking by playing your song.
And you'd also have to find an arbitration court who cares.
You
what you're saying, too, right?
Right.
Huh. Okay. That's an interesting viewpoint, Mark, and I've never heard you espouse it before. So, very interesting.
I have espoused that when we were talking about karaoke.
800-259-9231. Then I never really understood it then.
Gotcha.
More on the way. Hour number two is coming up. If you want to talk about patents, that's your business. Or we'll talk about virtual child porn. Yeah. Free Talk Live. DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronic, photo, cell phone, office product, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supply, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
Investments